Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Laura Spencer. Police officers have a difficult job. They often respond to calls where someone is posing a threat to themselves or to others. But at times, the situation could escalate if there's a mental health crisis. In this next half hour, we'll take a look at how police training is changing to better respond to mental health issues. But first, we'll hear from KCUR health reporter Alex Smith. Kansas City, Kansas will soon be home to a new mental illness crisis intervention center. Many are praising the move, but after years of budget cuts, the shortfalls have become acute.
Every day, usually more than one time a day.
Wyandotte County Sheriff Don Ash says that local police are inundated with calls to handle mental illness emergencies.
Calls could come in from a family member. Calls could come in from the general public. Calls could come in from a business owner.
It might be someone with severe depression or who has schizophrenia or bipolar disorder.
People get off their medications. They get to feeling better, don't think they need to take them. And then after a period of time, they sort of relapse or they slip back.
Someone might be picked up for something as simple as loitering or trespassing. Even though it's clearly a mental health emergency, police typically have little choice but to take them to jail or possibly an emergency room. A Department of Justice report shows that nearly two-thirds of jail inmates have some kind of mental health problem. Some have committed real crimes, but many haven't. Ash believes taking these people to jail is not a great way to deal with a crisis, and it taps police resources.
They're not available to be doing what the public truly expects them to be doing, and that is really dealing with suppressing crime or investigating crime.
We have a problem. We've got a lot of needs in the mental health space.
A few weeks ago, Governor Sam Brownback came to Kansas City, Kansas, to announce a plan he hopes will change the script. A former state psychiatric hospital in KCK, which has been mostly mothballed during the past few years, will be converted into a crisis stabilization facility, a place for police to take people in a mental health crisis.
It is our hope that this is going to be one of the most helpful and significant changes in mental health system and its delivery in this state over the past even possibly a couple of decades.
Many involved in mental health agree that the new facility could make a big difference. It will be the first of this kind of center in the metro area. But advocates see it as just one step forward after years of falling behind on mental illness. Susan Crane Lewis is president and CEO of Mental Health America of the Heartland. She's also co-chair of the Metropolitan Mental Health Stakeholders.
They have been a steady erosion over the past 7-8 years on both sides of the state line. It's not been a question of let's get something more. It's like, how can we hold on to the bare minimum?
The state grants created to fund community health centers in Kansas in the early 90s have been cut by about $16 million, or 50%, in the past 6 years. Missouri has also seen significant cuts for safety net services, about $17 million since 2010. Lewis says those cuts have meant the uninsured and underinsured can't get the help they need.
The minute you can't go to your doctor for any amount of time, you get sicker.
What caused the new focus on funding mental illness treatment? Many trace it to the December 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, when a 20-year-old man who may have had a mental illness killed 26 people.
You always hate that it takes something like that for us to start paying attention to things that we know we need to be doing, but it did, I think, kind of change the concentration on these issues.
Brent McGinty is president and CEO of the Missouri Coalition of Community Mental Health Centers. He says that in the last year, the Missouri governor and legislature have done a lot more for mental health with programs like the Strengthening Mental Health Initiative. And about a month after Sandy Hook, Kansas Governor Brownback announced plans for a new Kansas mental health strategy. He said he would channel $10 million into a regional mental health hub system. The Rainbow Mental Health Facility in Kansas City, Kansas, has been all but empty since being cited for safety violations and staffing concerns in 2011. It will reopen April 1st as the first of the new 24/7 crisis stabilization centers in Kansas. Patients might stay a few hours or a few weeks. The new facility will have just 10 longer stay beds, but Sheriff Ash says it will make a difference.
I believe we will start to see a reduction in some of these people that we see or that we see on a regular basis.
This is an important piece of the puzzle. It is not the whole puzzle. It is not the whole solution.
Even though the crisis center will fill an important gap, Lewis believes grant money still needs to be restored for community mental health centers. She says those funds are needed to help continue keeping people well after the work of the crisis center has ended.
The connection is essential, but how long can that connection hold? And how much can the community mental health center bear with no more revenue for the ongoing needs of those people.
The crisis intervention approach may be spreading. Advocates are currently seeking funding for a crisis facility center on the Missouri side of the state line. I'm Alex Smith, KCUR News.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Laura Spencer. To continue this conversation, we're joined in the studios by Johnson County Sheriff Frank Denning. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Laura.
Also, Lieutenant Aaron O'Donnell.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Nick Thompson, who is the CIT coordinator of NAMI KC. Thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Well, as we just heard in KCUR's Alex Smith story, police can spend a lot of time dealing with mental health emergencies. And Frank Denning or Aaron O'Donnell, what's it been like in Johnson County?
Well, as Don Ash, Sheriff Ash, just commented from Wyandotte County, you know, he and I are very aware of some of the issues that we're having with mentally ill in our jails. And the need for a crisis stabilization center has always been there. We've been really trying to push this to the forefront for probably the last 10 years. And finally, with the assistance of one of the representatives from Wyandotte County, Kathy Wolf Moore, and also Senator Jim Denning from Johnson County, they were really listened to both Sheriff Ash and I and our concerns, and even the mental health centers on both counties, listening to all of us saying, you know, there's a really need here for what Governor Brownback just did here a couple of weeks ago to fund that for 3 years. And I think what they will see is that stabilization center is an answer to a lot of the issues that we as sheriffs are dealing with in our jails. And that my population in Johnson County, almost 17%, are mentally ill, and some of them just do not belong in jails.
Well, more than 40 states now, including Kansas and Missouri, have crisis intervention training programs, or CIT. And Nick Thompson, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what CIT training involves.
CIT training involves, to me, what's exciting is police officers volunteering to be CIT officers. It's not something they're mandated to do. It's something they want to do. But in the training, what happens is we use police tactics, contact cover techniques, but we also apply crisis intervention techniques, verbal de-escalation techniques. And crisis intervention team training, the basic training is 40 hours, and it basically deals with overview of mental illness, what medications do, then some specific mental illness issues like and developmental disabilities, and then they go to site visits and actually go to the facilities that the mentally ill are taken to, and they actually get into the areas that the mentally ill have to live and talk to them about what they don't like, what the police do sometimes, and then they also talk about the positive things the police officers do. And then we have family panels that discuss issues that the police need to be aware of, how they need the family members like to be treated. We have a consumer panel that talks about the consumers talk about how they, again, are treated by the police. And then we have an officer panel that of seasoned CIT officers that actually discuss the real practical things that take place in CIT training. So the officer gets to understand what they're going to be going into once they hit the field and start doing handling CIT calls.
Now, Frank or Aaron, Nick mentioned this wasn't mandatory, but do you have expectations or goals for the number of officers who will have the CIT training?
The standard from the Memphis model, which is what started CIT, is to have 20% to 25% of your agency CIT certified. That allows for maybe a CIT officer on every shift. So the public has that, you know, expectation that someone will be CIT certified. The sheriff's office, we reached that goal in 2012, and now we're over it. Since the inception of the training in Johnson County, the sheriff's office has had someone in that class every single year. So the sheriff's always been very much behind it. And in Johnson County, in general, all of the agencies, we've trained almost 500. So it's been very good, very well received.
And you mentioned Memphis. The program started as a collaboration or a partnership with the Memphis Police Department in 1988, but it seems like it's taken a number of years for it to spread across the country.
Yeah, it's what happened in Memphis was there was a mentally ill subject who they had to use what was deemed later excessive force, and started them thinking and collaborating with their mental health and their district attorney's office on how to train their officers better to deal with these issues so they don't have that kind of outcome. And I think as always, funding, getting administrations behind projects, it, you know, can slow the spread of what ultimately turns out to be a great thing and a benefit for all.
Well, could you give an example of a situation that might have been an officer might have responded to in a different way previously before the CIT training, but now they're responding? You know, I don't know if there's a if you could kind of give an example.
A general example would be, let's say, an officer is called to a scene of a suspicious subject. They get there, the subject is not cooperating, not answering questions, doesn't want to be close to the officers, or doesn't, you know, want to make eye contact, which are all very suspicious behaviors. That person may be arrested for trespass, or, you know, because they won't comply, there might be a level of force that needed to be used because they can't communicate with the individual. After going to CIT training, that officer may approach it differently, thinking maybe he's not uncooperative, maybe he just doesn't understand what I'm doing. They may change tone of voice. They may change the tactics that they use. They may call in some support from mental health to say, do you know this person and how should I deal with them? And instead of maybe arresting, taking them home, taking them to the hospital, getting them a different kind of help than jail would be.
Now, Nick Thompson, your background is in law enforcement, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. I mean, would you have wanted this kind of training when you were an officer? I mean, would it have changed your approach?
Yes, it would, because when I first started out in law enforcement 30-plus years ago, typically happened was you'd go on a call, one of these mental health calls, and this person would be in crisis and needed help. And you would have a police officer respond that didn't have the training to deal with that crisis situation. So here you'd have this police officer ill-trained to deal with the situation, and he's in crisis. So you've got a mentally ill person in crisis and a police officer in crisis. And typically, bad outcomes could take place if certain things happened that the police officer would have to use force. But today, with this training, police officers use different techniques. As was just discussed, they tend to use more verbal de-escalation techniques, being safe at the same time. But now they're very confident in the training that they know how to intervene, stabilize a situation, and then get the person the help that they need. So that's a very positive outcome as far as I'm concerned.
Now, is it challenging for officers to kind of switch between different roles, or do you see it these roles being incorporated into their approach as an officer?
I think as an administrator, I do see a difference in when certain things have to be reviewed, as Aaron just referred to earlier, on use of force. And so I think you see some tools that are given to the officers, if you will. They develop that skill set, and it becomes really, really successful, because most of the patients that we're dealing with in the field, and I think that's why we're so positive about what's going on now in Wyandotte County, you know, with the Crisis Stabilization Center, because those, as was just said, just spoken about, that they're in crisis, and that's really real. And for the police officer to have that port in the storm, I think the governor referred to it as a port of calm, that is the stabilization center itself. But for the police officer, that port in the storm means I have a place that I can take this person and get the necessary services. We started a program in our jails, too, upon release of that mentally ill inmate. When they're released back into society, I have a program there where they're given a prescription for the psychotropic drugs that they would need until we can connect them with mental health services. And what you're trying to do there is what Aaron referred to a minute ago. When we're called, it's because that behavior has attracted the police for whatever reason. So I think all of these things are just really, really positive.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. Our guests are Johnson County Sheriff Frank Denning, who you just heard from, also Lieutenant Aaron O'Donnell, and Nick Thompson. He's the CIT coordinator of NAMI KC. You can join the conversation at 816-235-2888 and share your thoughts. If you have a mental illness yourself or a loved one with a mental illness, what interaction have you had with law enforcement? Share your story at 816-235-2888. And as you just mentioned, the Rainbow Mental Health Facility is kind of reopening in April. And I mean, what changes do you anticipate having that facility as an option for officers?
Well, I think the real advantage is having that place to go where the officer can take that individual to, because a lot of times these individuals are homeless or they have no family contacts. no friends. And so that provides that haven, if you will, that port in the storm. So once they're there, they can get the appropriate intervention. And then there's a little bit of time involved there with the treatment there on site where some intervention can be made, whether it's short-term there or whether it perhaps should even be long-term. And then we will stay connected with that if it turns into a probate situation where they're, you know, placed into a state hospital where we would have to work with the courts to make that happen and work with that center there, which both Sheriff Ash and I have agreed to help them out with transportation and those sorts of things if we need to go to the state hospitals.
Nick Thompson?
Yeah, I think that's exciting because right now police officers, when they go on these calls, sometimes they don't know what to do with this person. The person may not be in a state where they can be taken involuntarily. So what does a police officer do? I mean, do you leave them there at the scene? You don't feel comfortable in doing it? Do you get mental health to come to the incident location? So cops are, do I shop around and try to find a place to put this person? That's what's exciting to me about this center is now cops don't have to think of alternatives. They have a place to take the person to. And a lot of times a police officer will just take the guy to jail or the lady to jail because it's the most expedient thing to do. Now that's an option that doesn't have to be even considered. You can take them to this resource center.
Aaron?
Well, and also logistically for the agencies, let's say you're a northern agency. Right now they're having to travel to Osawatomie, which takes their officer out of their district, which is what the taxpayers expect, to have officers in their district. Well, now they're having to travel all the way down there, spend several hours, and then come back to district. So having a centralized drop-off center is, you know, logistically and practically excellent for the officers.
And, two, I might add that there's some innovative things going on in the law enforcement communities in Johnson County. The Olathe Police Department, a couple of years ago, started with a program where they actually have a social worker with them, and they actually will go to the officers, and most of them have been CIT trained, too, but actually can go with the officer and arrive at that place, that residence, wherever that person is that's in need of some intervention, and then some decisions can be made there. And again, more than likely, it will avoid incarceration and then get that person connected with the right services.
Well, have there been certain challenges to addressing some of these issues? And I'm not sure funding has been an issue in the past or current?
As always, it's about funding. And throughout the country, throughout the United States, there's always been an issue with, since we're just talking about mentally ill, there's always been an issue with the funding there for those that I have, for example, are probably underinsured, not insured. They have no family ties. And so for the most part, in the most immediate past, there's only been one place to go for those who are in need of that type of intervention, and it's called jail. And I used to say that I run the largest mental hospital in the state of Kansas, and those things need to change. So funding is a lot. Education is taking being noted, and legislators are being informed. Government, local governments are you know, readdressing the issue because we've always been confronted with it. And then I think what we're seeing here today with NAMI and with what Aaron's working on inside our agency with CIT training, the CIT officers, and so everybody now has this awareness, and so we're very sensitive to those needs. And the easy decision is just to put them in jail. It's not the right answer. So these are really, really positive things.
Well, I would imagine that there's a lot of stress in police work. And so with the CIT training, has that also had some impact on the officers in their own personal lives as well as how they are when they're on the job?
Well, I think any time that you can provide officers with training that is going to enhance their safety, it affects every aspect of their life. People get into law enforcement primarily because they want to help people. So giving them the proper tools to help someone with a mental illness just gives them more confidence to handle those calls, makes them safer, which makes, you know, their home life better. I think it all correlates together to the overall wellness of the officer and the agency, the more training you can provide, and our community relations. You know, we belong to the community, and when they see that we're going out of our way and doing what we need to do to above and beyond learn how to help them, I think it really comes across in our relationship with the community.
Nick?
One of the classes I think that is really important in our training is we give the officers a class that's called Critical Incident Stress Management. And what that does for the officer is help them deal with the daily stress that they encounter and then the cumulative stress that that builds up in their lives. And sometimes a police officer gets burnt out, they get depressed, and oftentimes suicidal. What we found out that this class does for officers, it gives them an avenue to go to other CIT officers and reach out for help. And CIT officers are actually doing CIT calls on fellow officers to help them cope with the stress of the job, and we found it to be very positive. And since our CIT program in Missouri has started, we haven't had one police suicide since that has happened, and we're very proud of that. And officer safety and officers dealing with the job is something that we're very proud of with the CIT program.
And as a profession, I mean that has previously been an issue with high rates of officer suicide from stress of the job or
in the past? A lot of statistics have shown that police officers have killed themselves, commit suicide almost 2-to-1 than line of duty deaths. So if you can incorporate a program that helps police officers deal with the stress and then have an avenue how to reach out and get help, we're very proud of that fact that we haven't had a suicide in since 1999.
We had a question from a caller who asks, couldn't officers that have experienced mental illness in their own personal life be the ones trained to deal with these situations? Do you have thoughts about that?
Well, I think some of the officers who volunteer, because it is not mandatory to go, have a special connection either to a family member with mental illness or they grew up with someone who had mental illness. So I think they're the ones that lean towards going. But sometimes it can be very difficult to try to teach from your own personal experience just because it's too close. So I think some of the officers that go through, it might be very difficult for their personal experience to be kind of aired out in that way.
Well, we have Janet on the line. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And you have had experience with law enforcement who have CIT training, is that right?
Well, actually, I didn't have the law enforcement with CIT training. I'm thrilled to hear that there's more of the training now. My incident was about 3 years ago with my mentally ill son who was threatening my life out in the backyard, and I called 911, and two officers came out, and they were they did not handle the situation very well. They made me feel like it was my fault that I called, and the only thing they could do with my son, who was just in a rage, was to take him to jail on an outstanding parking warrant, and he was released a couple hours later and back at my home. The only thing they suggested that I could do was to get a one of those warrants that would prohibit him from coming into my house again, and that wasn't the case. He really needed help. So my question to you is that I want to know what it would take to have every Kansas City police officer train in this, because I think odds of having a call and one of the officers with that training come out is pretty slim. So help me out with why all of them can't receive this training.
Okay, thank you, Janet, for your call.
Thank you. I'll hang up now. Bye-bye.
I can address it from an administrator's point of view that logistically it does take some time. You know, you just heard that the training was 40 hours, and to get the number of police officers or deputy sheriffs through those programs, it's going to take a while. I think the reassurance for her, the caller, is that we are addressing those and we're trying to improve what we're doing when we're handling these types of incidences like hers. And by the way, that's very common, what you just heard. And sometimes, depending on the police officer, the easy way out there was the warrant existed and then incarcerate. But really with the CIT trained and that philosophy that I have as an administrator, of saying how do we intervene appropriately and can we exhaust what we've been taught and what we now know versus just going to jail. And for her, I hope that she doesn't encounter that same experience again, that it will be better with her son.
Aaron? Well, and also what we have done, since we have sworn officers working in our dispatch center, they too have gone through the CIT training. So they're able to recognize on the phone call that it's a mental health issue. And when they relay that information to the responding officers, they can give them a heads up. So then they know when they're going in the situation, maybe how they're going to approach it, some resources that they can dial up. And our dispatch will already call Johnson County Mental Health if the officers ask them to. I mean, they're very good about prepping the officers for the situation. And CIT training is open to dispatchers or people who work in Johnson County Mental Health or any mental health center, the district attorney's office. Anyone who wants to come to learn more can go to CIT training.
Nick?
I think presently right now in the Kansas City Police Department, there's over 20% of those officers have been trained in CIT. But honestly, we don't want every police officer to be trained in CIT because it's voluntary. And honestly, some officers just aren't CIT officers. They're just, it's not in their makeup. It's not in their DNA. Just like some aren't SWAT team guys, some aren't negotiators, some can't work with juveniles. But we do have training in the police academy, mental health training. Every Kansas City police officer gets mental health training about CIT and about mental health issues. So they do have some basic level of understanding about mental health issues. But then the officer that wants to excel and go a little more and get more, a little more involved and really get involved in the call, the CIT call, and help the person out, that's the officer we want to go on those calls. And like I said, over 20% of the KCPD are CIT trained.
Was that becoming more common that the folks who are actually taking the calls, that dispatchers all have had some sort of training, either a CIT or just a general training in mental health?
Yes, it is. You can't just have the police officer trained because the police officer goes on the call and then the rest of the police department doesn't know what the CIT training is all about. So we found out you have to integrate CIT throughout the department. You got to have the dispatchers educated. You got to have the detention officers educated, go through the training. So everybody's on the same page and actually making the service work to get the person the help that they need. And dispatchers are very important because they take the initial call, and then a lot of times they resolve the situation at dispatch and then later inform the CIT officers about what they did. So it's a constant communication process.
Okay. We've got a caller from Gabriella. She's on. Gabriella, you had a question? Good morning.
The police quite a few times because of my son who has reactive attachment disorder. He's 11 and violent. And what they say in front of that child really makes a difference. They told him on one occasion recently, they told us, breaking at something in our home isn't a crime because he lives there, but he reads that as, I can break anything I want, and they can't do anything. He actually said that later in the days following. And when we wanted him charged for assault, they just said, we won't arrest him for anything. He's 11, and we won't arrest him until he's 17. With him in the room, and he reads that as, I can do anything, break anything, hurt anybody, and you can't do anything about it.
Okay, Gabriella, we're running out of time, so I'm going to see if we have time for a quick response on a child who's mentally ill. Thoughts that you have on how officers might respond to this parent?
Well, I think a lot of it does. I think a lot of it does have to do with the tone that the officers were handling that situation, and I don't agree with that manner in which it was done, because they weren't attempting to de-escalate or to intervene and to help this parent, who's obviously in crisis, as is the child. And I think, appropriately trained officer, this would have been handled very differently.
Well, our guest today, we're out of time, is Johnson County Sheriff Frank Denning. You just heard from him. Also, Lieutenant Aaron O'Donnell and Nick Thompson, the CIT coordinator of NAMI KC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Earlier in the hour, we heard from Caitlin Kress, KCPT reporter with the Hale Center for Journalism, about her adventures along the startup bus. You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Christy Garten. We had help today from Kate Baxendale. I'm Laura Spencer, and this is Central Standard.